Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Thine forever, God of love, hear us from thy throne above. Thine forever may we be, here and in eternity. Amen. In our gospel reading tonight, Matthew chapter 11, I think we find something that is often the case, in that Jesus says something that we may take offense at if we are paying attention. In our gospel reading today, Jesus prays to his Father, and he thanks his Father, but the Father hides something from some and yet reveals it to others. And to our ears, I bet that sounds unfair, maybe even mean on God's part. After all, isn't God supposed to reveal things to everyone? Furthermore, isn't Jesus in this text here talking about salvation? And he is. And wouldn't a loving God reveal that to everyone as blatantly as possible? And just to set the record straight, the first answer to a line of questioning like that is no. God does not have to do that. He doesn't owe anyone anything. We don't deserve it. That God reveals salvation to anyone at all shows the sheer amazing graciousness of his will. And so don't get belligerent. In fact, acting like God's advisor, acting as if you are wise and understanding, well, as you look at our gospel reading today, it is precisely to those people that these things are hidden. Earlier on in chapter 11, John the Baptist sends some of his disciples to Jesus, and he sends them to ask if Jesus is the one who is to come, or if they're actually waiting for another. And Jesus answers them, "Go tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Now that is a roundabout way of saying, what more proof could you want, guys? And his answer does prove that this stuff, in that sense, is hidden from no one. It is right out in the open what God is doing, that he's doing amazing things through Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that it is enjoyed by everyone. Now, to many, Jesus was supposed to fill out the proper paperwork first. He needed to jump through the correct hoops. He needed to attend the right schools. He needed to hold the accepted opinions of the day. That kind of thing. Now, if you look through the Gospels, you will find that quite a few people are not impressed with the miracles of Jesus, much less his words. They're not enjoying them at all. They don't find it fun. They don't find it funny. And in our reading today, Jesus thanks his Father that the truth of these works is hidden to them, while at the same time revealed to children. Because there are people in the gospel who do enjoy Jesus' works and his words, namely, the poor, the blind, the deaf, the dead, the lame. There are those who are simply blown away, who applaud every time Jesus performs a magic trick, every time he sidesteps a gotcha question, every time he trolls the wise and shames them before the crowds. Now, I hope you find this a little fun, too. Someone may say, well, sure, that was then, this is now. What has Jesus done for us lately? Well, what has the Lord of heaven and earth done lately? It is that kind of question. But to even ask it reveals a kind of foolishness that makes answering that question hard. And I don't mean foolishness in the sense of someone having a low IQ. No, rather, it reveals a way of understanding the world that is hard to argue with. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that what can be known about God is plain to everyone. even invisible things like God's eternal power, his divine nature, Paul says that they are clearly revealed in the creation around us. And on top of all that, there's a rather, shall we say, obvious, non-secret of the Holy Scriptures, revealed for everyone to read, revealed so that everyone can know of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, ascension to the Father's right hand, and the foretell of his return, of his judgment over the world. Paul says that you cannot deny that stuff. Or rather, that's exactly what you have to do. To make a claim about God's work, about it not being present, not being impressive enough, to say that he has to be gone from the world, absent and disengaged, well, that takes a certain kind of wisdom, Jesus says. A person has to deny what is in front of their face. They have to close their eyes so that they don't see, plug their ears so that they do not hear. Not that it can't be done, but you have to be diligent. You have to be constantly putting out the fires of God talk, ignoring the manifold blessings in this world. It is a full-time job. Among other things, you would have to deny the wonders of modern medicine, deny the amazing feats of technology. You would have to dismiss the miracle of babies, right? Of new life, born every single day. You'd have to ignore the workings of the sun and the moon and the stars, of all of nature. You'd have to misappropriate the joys of love and marriage and friendship, because the scriptures say that all of that comes from God's hand. Now, I know that there are objections. I know that there are people who want to tell us, well, actually, whatever. Sure, if you discount all of Jesus' miracles, he does seem less impressive. If you discount everything that God is currently doing in the world, well, he may not seem impressive either. And you are left to make up some other story to account for all of these things. But rather to take delight in all of those things, to see them as gifts, gifts of God, it takes a certain attitude. Jesus says it would take the attitude of a child. So in our reading, there is a way in which Jesus says that this is a game, this is like child's play, something that should induce joy in you. And you see that kind of joy exactly in little children when they're playing games. They can play something over and over and over again, more excited each and every time. But you know that it takes a certain kind of person, or actually a certain kind of mood, to want to play along with children. Anyone can do it, but you have to give up your world. You have to give up the stuff that the world deems important. At times you even have to give up logic and reason just so you can play along. And that is hard for us to do a lot of the time. It's the same with the gospel. It's hard to give up the world that we have created in order to sit at Jesus' feet and relearn everything about the world. After all, we think there is work to be done. Important things need attending to. And you are resting this weekend just so you can get back to those very things. I know. But Jesus brings us to a new beginning. Remember, the earth was created in 6 days, and these 6 days lead up to the day that is set apart, the day that is sanctified by the Lord. Genesis shows us that the Sabbath day is the culmination of the week, not an appendage. The week leads to it. The week leads to the blessing of the Sabbath rest and recreation with God. And as surely as the week moves toward the weekend, so also do we move toward the rest that we find in Jesus Christ. We were made for it. It is a consummation. That is the game. that in Christ, we come to know the Heavenly Father. We come to know our Maker. And through Him, come to know ourselves. And only in Jesus do you find the rest that comes from all of the weight that the world wants to set upon your shoulders, especially when it tries to get you to leave God out of the picture while making you figure out everything on your own without Him. But Jesus knows that is a weight that you cannot carry. This is Pastor Miller talked about last week, that your family, your friends, your job cannot carry often the weight and the burdens that we want to place upon them, even when that burden is our love. And so Jesus calls out to the world, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Jesus says that the weight of the world is displaced by what He teaches. You find rest. You can dwell in what He says. The yoke of His teaching is light and easy. I am betting that you could add, without bringing violence to it, that His teaching brings us true joy. To know the secret that He discloses to you turns you into a child, wanting to learn the ropes of the game so that you can strive to win it. It doesn't mean that everything is always without challenge. No, we know that the best games have hard parts. That's part of the game. But it does mean that you know the boundaries. It does mean that you know the end we're headed towards. What is interesting about what Jesus says is the light burden that Jesus hands over to us is nothing short of reality, the truth, the knowledge of the enemies that are on the other side, but also the knowledge of the salvation that has been secured in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. This is a reality that makes you immortal, a reality that turns life into an adventure, one with treasure at the end. And ultimately is to know that the best is yet to come. That when this game ends, a new world begins. A new world no longer hampered by grief and sorrow, no longer hampered by sickness and death. Thanks be to God who through Christ Jesus delivers us from those things. This truth is hidden, and yet it is hidden right out in the open. It is a truth that brings the peace of God, which passes all of our wisdom and understanding. It guards and keeps your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus forever. Amen.